Every day, we're surrounded by people searching for God. And every day, we have an opportunity to partner with the Spirit as He renews our world. Every single person we meet is fighting a tough battle. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to be available to a life on mission with God. See, the Lord is looking to rescue those that don't know Him. The Lord loves those that are far from Him, and the Lord has sent us to reach out on His behalf. He doesn't ask us to go in our own strength, but He has given us the tools for this task. Each child of God has been given gifts for this great adventure. Believer has access to the supernatural support of the Spirit to help build up those that are disoriented by what life throws at us all. And as we have the courage to be open, as we spend time serving and sitting with others, as we live in faith and expectation, by the grace of God, the Spirit will move and lives will be changed. The Lord is calling our church to brave the day by the power of the Spirit. Will you join Him on this journey?
Well, good morning. During the bumper, I took a kind of peek at you guys, and you look good. You look good. You know, when they say that you're nervous, they have that thing you're supposed to imagine people in their underwear. I didn't think that would be appropriate for today, so I just imagined you all wearing Husky gear. So there we go. Sorry, Cougars. All right. Hey, well, last week, Pastor Jim introduced us to another series, part of our Into the Wild series, and he began to talk about spiritual gifts. And Jim taught us that spiritual gifts are how the works of Jesus get done through the church. So today, we're going to build on that introduction, and then we're going to look at two gifts in particular. We're going to look at a message or a word of wisdom, and I'll kind of say message and word back and forth. And we're going to look at a message or a word of knowledge. And as I was getting ready for this teaching, I kind of had this flashback to when my family and I started attending here at New Life, and we were back in the chapel, and Pastor Tom Ferguson began to read this verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 1. And it goes like this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And I was actually a little bit irritated with that verse because who wants to be called ignorant, right? And I thought, I'm not ignorant about spiritual gifts. I kind of felt spiritual gifts were things like the way I'm made, the things I naturally do. So I've always had some success with teaching, so I just kind of figured that was my spiritual gift. But then Pastor Tom went on, and this is what he continued to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another this message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit here, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And after Pastor Tom read that, I kind of had this realization that I might be ignorant of these gifts. Now, if the word ignorant bothers you, go to a translation like the ESV that says uninformed, all right? It sounds a little better. And the point is, I realized that I was uninformed about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So maybe as Jim kicked us off last week, or maybe even now as I read those verses, you're kind of thinking maybe you're uninformed too. So go ahead and make today the beginning of becoming informed about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I found that those verses we just read were really challenging to me. And I don't know if it was that I'd never really heard them taught on before, or maybe I wasn't listening when they were taught on. I don't know. I have one childhood memory of a well-meaning lady in our church leaning over me saying, hey, that gift of tongues, that's something of the devil. Don't go any place where they teach that. So maybe when Pastor Tom began to teach that, maybe that's why I felt uncomfortable. I don't know. It could be, right? But that kind of inspired me to start studying on my own. hey, I'm an adult, right? I should start studying this stuff. What does Scripture really say about gifts of the Holy Spirit? So as I began to study, I came across this verse in 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Okay, that meant that I could actually desire these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then I went on and I read this in 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Okay, well, that was totally contrary to what I thought because I was uninformed or maybe even misinformed in that case. And so as I studied, I found that I began pursuing God in a deeper way because you can't help but study spiritual gifts without pursuing God. God is the originator of spiritual gifts. So as I pursued God and my relationship with God deepened, I found much to my surprise that deep relationship included exercising spiritual gifts, the ones in 1 Corinthians 12. I found that as I pressed into God, I became empowered as I received these spiritual gifts. You know, my hope today for each person in this room is that your pursuit of God would take you to a place of deeper relationship with God where you begin exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that you would exercise them in a way that would bring life to you and to everyone around you. I think we should contend for that in this series as we continue it. So now let's focus on two of the gifts that were listed there as message of wisdom and message of knowledge. Okay, if you're like me, you like to have things really laid out, you know, and defined. But unfortunately, if you look at Scripture, there is no Webster-like definition of these spiritual gifts. And all the analytical people in the room just kind of let out a sigh of frustration because it's just not there. It's not there. But I know that you want something. You want something to work on. So I'm going to give you some definitions of these two gifts with the understanding that it's an imperfect definition, okay? So let's do this. First of all, let's define knowledge and wisdom in just a really simple way. So we're just going to say this. Knowledge is what you know, and wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. We all have knowledge, and we all have access to knowledge, and we all have wisdom. So if we all have knowledge and we all have wisdom, why would we need these gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the thing. When it comes to things of the Spirit or other people, we either don't have any knowledge or we have incomplete knowledge. What if you are with a stranger? You know nothing about them. So you need the Holy Spirit to show you and provide the knowledge and the wisdom of what to do with that knowledge. So let me give you just some real quick working definitions based on that. A message of knowledge is simply this. The Holy Spirit shows you something you do not know. Real simple. A message or word of wisdom is the Holy Spirit shows you something you do not know. A message or a word of wisdom is simply that the Holy Spirit shows you what to do with what you do know because you don't know what to do. All right? Because you just don't know. This wisdom can take a lot of forms. It can be wisdom for you so that you know how to act, how to do. It could be timing. It could be a message of wisdom for someone else because they need some help. It could be for them. It can be very fluid. So you could be sitting right next to a person and the Holy Spirit could tell you that the person next to you needs wisdom. And then the Holy Spirit would give you the message of wisdom for them, which is now knowledge for you because you now know it. And then you give it to them as a message of wisdom. Right? It's all kind of fluid, and that's why we don't want to get hung up on definitions. I would much rather have us focus on relationship with God, pursuing God, and actually exercising spiritual gifts than get overly hung up on definitions. I'm not saying that intellectual pursuit is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying let's focus on relationship with God and experience it. So last week, Jim also talked about how the gifts of the Spirit might be thought as part of a toolbox or part of a tackle box, and hopefully never part of a toy box, all right? So a toolbox, you open that up, and that would contain the tools that you need to build people up, to repair people, to bring them to a place of wholeness. That's the toolbox. The tackle box is gear for fishing. And what did Jesus do? He called his first disciples fishers of men, right? So if we're in the tackle box, we're using spiritual gifts to draw people to Jesus, to bring them into Jesus. And hopefully, we never open the toy box. Because in the toy box, there are these toys. And if you're reckless in your play, people get hurt. Spiritual gifts are not meant to be used as toys. So spiritual gifts allow us to do the works of Jesus. How about let's look at, see what Jesus did. Let's see how Jesus opened the toolbox. He opened the tackle box, kept the toy box shut, and used the gifts of knowledge and wisdom. So here's the scene. We're going to look at John chapter 4. And it's in Samaria, and Jesus has been on a journey. He's tired. He's sitting at this well called Jacob's Well. And the disciples drop by and food. He's alone, and this woman approaches him. She's a Samaritan. Against all custom, Jesus begins talking to her. And you know what? We know he's on assignment because Jesus was always on assignment. He was always teaching people, challenging them. He was loving the unlovable. He was drawing them into relationship with him. So they're talking. And pretty soon, Jesus asks the woman for some water. And the conversation takes this funny turn. And Jesus begins to tell her that he is offering her something called living water. Living water. Okay, so now we're going to go. We're going to pick up the story from that point. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And we'll continue the story. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of living water, everyone who drinks of this water," pointing to the well, "will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks of the water that I will give him," that's the living water, "will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." All right, so it's clear at this point that the woman's still thinking about this physical water of the well, right? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about himself, this living water. Have you ever been talking to someone about Jesus or about your faith in God, and you can see they just don't understand you, they don't get what you're saying, you're just not able to connect? That's where they are right now. Jesus is trying to connect, but they're just not connecting. Now, if I put myself in that place, and I just rely on myself, I say something like, "Oh, come on, don't you get it? Come on, come on, read my lips. This is what I'm saying, come on." It's just going ahead. I'm trying. But that's not what Jesus does. He's opened up the toolbox, he's opened up the tackle box, and this gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom are at his disposal. In fact, he begins to say something that just totally doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because he knows something that he shouldn't know. They've never met before. He's never met this woman. He knows nothing in the natural about her, but he does know something. And he knows how to use it in a way that will bring maximum effect. That's wisdom. So let's continue the story. Out of the blue, John 4:16, Jesus said to her, "Go. Call your husband and come here." Okay, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Of all the things that he could say, he said that. And yet, as we'll see, this one beginning changes the whole dynamics of the conversation. And it has this incredible effect that not only changes the woman, but changes the community. And this is one of the markers that indicates a spiritual gift in play. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, it could be one of the other gifts we're going to talk about again. But it's a divinely inspired moment that has results far beyond what you could imagine. He just asked her, "Go get your husband." Watch what happens now. As we pick up the story again, John chapter 4, verse 17, watch what happens as we pick it up. The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Right? It's kind of funny. It just comes out of there, right? It's clear from the text that this woman is just floored, right? How did Jesus know that? It's because he reached into the toolbox and had a word of knowledge. If you have ever been the recipient of a word of knowledge or given one, this is a very typical response. People know, the people that receive the word of knowledge know that there is no way the giver could have known that piece of information. But now what's happened? Jesus has the woman's full attention, totally. We're not going to read it now, but I encourage you to read all of John chapter 4. It's really a beautiful dialogue, and it ends like this in verses 25 and 26. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Can you imagine what it would have been like for that woman? All right. This Jewish man, he breaks all custom as he talks to her, and then he declares himself to be the Messiah and backs it up with a demonstration that he's not an ordinary person. So this woman, she would have been branded as, you know, probably a failure, morally corrupt. You know what happens? She's so changed that she runs out to the community and begins to say, "Look at this man. He told me everything I ever did," which means she's actually kind of exposing herself. She's reminding them of her story, but it's okay because she's been changed by Jesus. And she brings people back, and she brings them, and the account in John says that many more believed in Jesus. This is what happens when we function in the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. People are built up, that's the toolbox, and they're brought to Jesus, which is the tackle box. I want to take a brief moment and point out what Jesus didn't do. He did not take the knowledge of her failures and her sin and throw it in her face. He could have brought sin, he could have brought shame, condemnation, but he didn't. That would have been opening the toy box, and he didn't go there. Instead, he revealed himself to her, brought her into relationship. You know what? When we get a word of knowledge and we get a piece of divine information like that, we need to treat that information as something vital and sacred. We need to honor people. You know, we have laws in our, with therapists and doctors. If you give them personal information, they're required to be careful with it. Shouldn't we, as followers of Christ that love people, have a standard maybe even higher than that? You know, if you get a word of knowledge about someone, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the accompanying word of wisdom to know what to do with it. And if you don't know what to do with it in love, just hang on to it. It's okay. Because I'm so thankful that Jim first had us learn about the fruit of the Spirit before the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit must function in the context of love. They have to. So in this example, we saw how Jesus used these spiritual gifts, right? And when you look at the book of Acts, you see the early Christians acting like Jesus. Okay, here's the amazing thing. We get to act like the early Christians. And we can follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and do the works of Jesus just like they did. We get to participate with God, right? Doing the works of Jesus. You know, I know that we do this to help others, but when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, it also changes us, all right? You know what? When I see God's love extended to people, I fall more in love with God. You see what he's doing. You see his care for people. And if you partner with the Holy Spirit in that, you can't help but be affected. In fact, it's kind of cyclical in a sense. If we walk in the fruit of the Spirit and then walk in the gift of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, it actually helps you grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But we want to start with the fruit of the Spirit in a sense, because we don't want to be in the toy box. Several years ago, I was here at New Life, and it was middle of the week, and I was told about this lady that was out in the parking lot. She was afraid to come in, so I went out to talk to her. And as I was talking with her, she was sharing just a small part of her story. And the Holy Spirit began to kind of expand on that story. And I understood through the Holy Spirit that she had been severely abused by a man, and it was in a religious context. So that explained why she would not want to walk in the building. And I didn't know what to do with that. So I'm just saying, "God, what do I do with this?" And the Holy Spirit just prompted me, just begin to pray for her. Okay, I can pray for her. Not a complicated prayer. Just a simple prayer. So I asked if, and by the way, just in light of what I just said, this woman isn't here today, and I'm not going to say her name, so I'm not violating anything of trust. But I'm standing there with her. I asked if I could pray for her. I put my hand on her arm. And I began to pray. It was just like this. Heavenly Father, please heal this woman. And then the Holy Spirit gave me another piece of information was, I said, heal this person from the damage caused by, and I gave the name of her boyfriend. And when I said that, she let out this shriek, and she kind of violently jerked. And quite frankly, she scared me. I had my eyes closed, and I kind of jumped back. And if you watch me today pray for people, you'll see I keep my eyes open a lot of times. It's because of that. In scripture, we don't see facial expressions. We don't hear the sounds. When you do, it's a little bit startling at times. But it was even more than that. She took off and ran away. Just ran away. And I was very concerned about that because I didn't want to be in the toy box. Right? I didn't want to hurt her. And so I spent a lot of time. That was a challenge to me. Was I in the right place? And so I prayerfully had to consider that. And I felt, after I prayed about it a couple of days, I felt comfortable that I'd been okay. And I learned something. And I want you to hear me on this very carefully. You need to hear this whole section because the results weren't what I thought they should be when I prayed for her. The results were not what I thought they should be. But we need to learn this about spiritual gifts. We're not responsible for the outcome if, and here's the big if we've used the gifts in love. We have to use the gifts in love. I am not talking about when we use the gifts out of selfish gain or wrong attitude by playing the toy box. If you want to know if you're playing the toy box, here are a few questions you can ask yourself. Who gets the glory, God or me? Am I drawing this person to Jesus or am I drawing them to myself? Am I building someone up or knocking them down, often to make myself look better? I think you get the idea. We want to take people to Jesus, to be built up, to draw closer to Jesus in relationship in the tackle box, right? So if we're functioning there, and the character of God is there with the fruit of the Spirit, then we need to trust that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. And then we need to do our part, no more, no less. Most of the times that I've messed up, it's been because I thought I could add to what the Holy Spirit was doing. So believe it or not, the following Sunday, the woman showed up. Not only did she show up, she brought her children with her. She brought her children with her, and they just walked right into the building. And I was surprised, and I went over to her, and I asked her what changed her mind, and she said this. She said, I used to think that Christians were powerless. But when you said the name of my boyfriend, I realized I was wrong, and that just maybe I could give God a chance. That maybe God could help me. Okay, you and I can't do that. We just can't do that. But when you see that happen, when you see God work someone that way, your faith grows, your love for God grows, your desire to work with him grows. I believe that there are many here today that you know that your time to do the works of Jesus is now. That you're in the season when it's time to do the works of Jesus. And I'm just saying that you need the help of the Holy Spirit. We all do. We can't do this by ourselves. And experiencing spiritual gifts may be new to you, but I'd even encourage you to pursue, desire spiritual gifts because we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do the works of Jesus. I'm gonna give you just two simple tips that will help you, especially if this idea is new to you. The first one is this. Desire spiritual gifts, because you're told to do that from Scripture, but desire and pursue the giver of the gifts more. Spiritual gifts are going to flow out of our relationship with God. Spiritual gifts help us do the work of Jesus, but we better know Jesus to do the works of Jesus, right? The second simple tip is this, be humble and teachable. We all have different levels of experience in this room when it comes to spiritual gifts, but every one of us is still learning. We're all still learning. And quite frankly, the Holy Spirit is an incredible teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach us. If we remain humble and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he'll teach us and we'll have the joy of seeing people made whole and drawn to Jesus. So being humble is really important. Our goal really is to get out of the way of God and let him work through us, right? The Holy Spirit works through us. So I don't know if they still do this at the Everett Gospel Mission, but several years ago, they used to have this thing where they would invite a guest speaker and the guys in the mission had to listen to you before they could have dinner. So it was this captive audience. They had to sit there through the whole thing. And then when you were done, they would go eat. So I was asked to come in. And this was right when I was learning about spiritual gifts. And I didn't want any opportunity to pass. You know, I wanted any chance I could get to operate in spiritual gifts, I wanted to do it. So I finished the message and I told the guys, well, I'm going to close in prayer. And if you want personal prayer, come up and see me. So I closed in prayer, and immediately this guy just hops up, and he stood like right in front of me. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to give this guy a word from God because I have spiritual gifts. You see, you already see the problem. And the second guy came up, and I'm like, wow, I get two guys that I get blessed because I have spiritual gifts. And then the third guy came up. And the fourth guy, and all of a sudden, I'm not saying I've got spiritual gifts, I'm saying I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Who am I to think that I would know what these men need? And there was this line forming, and they all wanted to hear from God. So what happened to me is I went from, I've got spiritual gifts, to, oh God, I need your help. I was begging God, please show up, because if he doesn't show up in that case, I can't do a thing. Well, I realized something was wrong when I first reached out for the first man to pray for him. And he kind of recoiled, which apparently is part of my prayer life. I reach for people and they run away. And he kind of jerked back. I thought, what is going on? And the second guy looked at me kind of funny. And I heard this noise behind me. And I turned around, this like door thing opened up. And it turned out I was standing at the start of the food line. So I stepped over, and they just continued to file right by me, and not a single guy came forward for prayer. And you know what I did? I just laughed, because I realized that I had been gently schooled by the Holy Spirit. If we humble ourselves, he will teach us. And I learned a lot. I actually, today, if I feel myself going to that other place, I think about that time. And that was years ago. But there's more to the story. A few weeks later, I met this guy, full of life. He just had a sparkle in his eyes. He loved Jesus. He was that expression on fire for Jesus. And he came up to me and said, Glenn, I was there that night that you taught at the mission. I said, oh, and he goes, yeah. Right in the middle of the service, God set me free from addiction and spiritual bondage. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't talk about addiction or spiritual bondage. I didn't talk about either of those things, but God just set him free. And what I've learned is this whole thing, we just do our part. We just do our part. We just be natural. We see God do the super stuff, and so we see the supernatural. And God set him free, and all I did was do my part. We're going to close here, and why don't you go ahead and stand? I want you to stand with me, and in just a minute, Wendy's going to lead us to a hymn, but I just want to talk about this piece about our part. You know, we are the body of Christ, right? And if we take it to a team analogy, we're a team. And no one is meant to carry the team by themselves, right? That's not our place. We're to work together. You know who carries us? The Holy Spirit. It's our part to be available. And I think there's this place today where the altar is going to be open. It's going to be, and as Wendy leads us in, if there would just be a declaration that you would like to make, that you want to be available, to be used by the Holy Spirit with gifts flowing through you, this would be a great time to come forward to the altar. Maybe it's a chance for you. I think there could be some people here today that used to have the toolbox and the tackle box were open, but you kind of shut them and you put them up on a shelf. And it's time to bring those down and open them up again. I would encourage you to come forward. There's this scriptural thing about the laying on of hands, and Pastor Jim and maybe others of the staff are going to be up here. You might just feel a hand on your shoulder. But I would encourage you to come forward to declare your pursuit of God and your desire and your spiritual gifts. Wendy, thank you.